And I think asking yourself the question, like, what's the worst that could happen? And if the worst thing that could happen is that you might fail, remembering that failing is part of the process, and like, you're never going to succeed without failing a bunch first. So if the fear of failure is what is holding you back, then maybe approaching it as like, failure is part of the success, and I need to do that part first.
The Life in Motion podcast is brought to you by Actual Outdoors. They help build beautiful brands that highlight the approachable and authentic parts of outdoor recreation. Said simply, they keep it real. Learn more at actualoutdoors.com.
This is a Life in Motion audio experience, a podcast about travel, action sports, culture, and more.
What's up, and welcome to episode 198 of Life in Motion. I've got Christine Reed with me, who's all about the outdoors. She's also the author of Alone in Wonderland and her new book, Blood, Sweat, Tears. I'm excited to see what she's been up to since we last spoke and learn about her book. Christine, thanks for being on the show today.
Yeah, thanks for inviting me back.
Absolutely. I'm excited, obviously, you know, before kind of having this kind of recap or catch up episode, I looked to see what number you were originally on, and it was episode 59. So that was quite a while ago. So for any of the listeners that might not have heard that episode way back when, let's kind of give a little kind of brief introduction, sort of your journey into to the outdoors and kind of what's ultimately kind of led you down this path.
Sure. Yeah. I guess I, back in the day as a small child, I was not an outdoorsy person at all. My parents were not. I wasn't raised to go camping or hiking or do any of those things. And then after college, I was sort of looking for direction and just something new in my life. And I happened across a blog about the Appalachian Trail, and I just said, I'm going to go do that. It sounds wild and hard and like something that will catalyze change for me, which I desperately needed at that time. And so I just sort of set my sights on the AT, and I went out to attempt a thru hike in 2015, and it is 9 years later, and I have not looked back.
That's awesome. And it's so... You kind of mentioned one thing there, like obviously not really growing up kind of the outdoorsy person, and mentioning, you know, sort of you needed a change, some sort of change, but with not having an outdoor background, like what kind of sparked your interest of something that's like, you know, not necessarily the casual hike per se, and kind of go and jump in and kind of go all in that way?
I think it really was just the way that people talked about the AT in these blogs. You know, I went down the rabbit hole and I read a bunch of different people's stories, and it was just, it seemed to be that every person was just like, the AT changed my life, or the AT helped me figure out who I was or what I was supposed to be doing, or it helped me find perspective. Like, people had these really big picture kind of experiences on the trail. And honestly, at the time, it's not like I read all of this and was like, oh, should I do the AT or the Pacific Crest Trail or the Continental Divide or the Colorado Trail? Because I didn't know any of those things existed. So I just did the AT because it was the thing I knew existed. And it wasn't until I got out there that people were talking about other trails. And I was like, oh my God, there's other trails.
There's more. So with that, you know, As you mentioned, like how did that kind of initial step like go? You know, one, you know, you mentioned, you know, reading all these stories of these other people and how, you know, in a sense they sort of, you know, found themselves in a sense and kind of reconnected with everything, which I'm sure obviously reflects on a personal light as well. But in your case, obviously you're still very involved in the outdoors and everything as well. But was it very soon that you kind of found like sort of what you were looking for in the outdoors, if that kind of makes sense?
Yeah, I definitely, you know, in the process of getting ready to go hike the AT, I moved to Yosemite National Park for a 5-month period. And I would say that's really like when that journey kind of officially began. You know, and I got out on the trail after Yosemite and I hiked the first 650 miles. I did not complete the AT back then, but I did have a life-changing experience. It really helped me, grieve. My mom died while I was on trail, and I went home and like went to her memorial service, and I was spent some time with family, and I actually went back on trail afterwards. And so my AT hike really wasn't at all what I was expecting or hoping for or planning for. It was a completely other different thing. But it was really impactful for me. And that I sort of built my relationship with nature and with hiking and with the outdoor culture and the outdoor community through that experience. And yeah, it's just been sort of a forward motion evolution ever since then.
Yeah. And, you know, of course, sorry, you know, about the loss there, but, you know, it sounds like almost in a way, you know, you kind of getting into, you know, the hike and that kind of stuff, like almost was at the right time for something unfortunate like that to happen. Cause you know, I've lost a parent. I know other people have lost a parent, but sometimes when tough things like that happen within your life, you know, it's can be easier to go down other paths that might not be so beneficial. Mm-hmm. And you being able to kind of lock on into the outdoors. And as you mentioned, the community that comes with it and friendships and everything else, you know, sounds like it was really impactful, you know, during that time.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. And I do sometimes think like, I wonder how I would have handled that situation in myself over the next few years, if not for hiking and this journey that I'm on. And it's just so hard to even picture what an alternate version of my life would look like at this point.
Yeah. And you know, as I mentioned, you know, kind of the right, finding that at the right time. And I think it also kind of speaks to sort of the positive effects of just being outside and being with other people kind of in that sense and having that reconnection. So, you know, I'm glad it kind of, it helped in that situation. But so after you kind of got your toes wet per se, like what were kind of the next steps? Like obviously, you know, you fell in love with the outdoors through the experiences. But obviously it's gone much farther than that. So kind of what has kind of more of the journey been?
Yeah. So before the Appalachian Trail, I was living in Arkansas. My family had moved there and I just knew I didn't really want to be there any longer. And so on the AT, it seemed like everyone that I met was saying, I think I'm going to move to Denver after this. And I didn't really know what was going on in Denver, but I was like, I don't know. Everybody seems to think that's the place to be. So I'm going to go check it out. I ended up moving to Denver in, I guess, the end of 2015. I lived there for a few years. I got a job. I went back to the like quote unquote normal life. And it didn't take me very long to realize that I just didn't really want that for myself anymore. And I started looking for kind of alternate ways of being. And so a few years later, I moved into a van. I was living on the road and then I kind of came back around to hiking. Because almost like as an old comfort, like it was a place where I had learned a lot and felt really good and existed in this culture and made friends. And I wanted to like go back to that. So I hiked the Wonderland Trail in 2018. And I've pretty much been living on the road and hiking trails ever since then.
That's awesome. So you still are living the van life, right? Or no?
I am. Yeah. I've been kind of off and on. I had a place in Denver, for a little bit but I still had the van. And so I was sort of like in and out and now I'm back in the van full time. Yeah.
That's awesome. And definitely, you know, that way you can kind of wander about as you please in that sense. And, you know, you mentioned, you know, you kind of went through those transitions and then of course, you know, hiked the Wonderland Trail as well. Where is that? Like, I guess at what point, you know, I mentioned, you know, that your first book, you know, Alone in Wonderland, which I've read, which is a great story, by the way. But where did the want or the inspiration, I guess, to like, hey, I want to share my story with others. And like, when, like, how did that side of, you know, Christine, the author kind of start?
It sort of just happened. The last day on the Wonderland Trail, I was sort of thinking about my experience and starting to get into the like post-trail processing mode. And I just realized, I think this is a story I want to share. I really was struggling at that time with ideas around independence and being on the road alone and loneliness and trying to figure out where I fit in to the world and to the community and with myself. And I just, the experience on the Wonderland Trail and the way that I talked to my fellow hikers out there, I realized I wasn't the only one who was feeling those things. And so by the end of the trail, I thought, I think I'm going to write this story and share it and hopefully like help some other people feel less alone and also help me feel less alone. So I really hadn't been aspiring up to that point to be a writer or to write a book someday. But it just felt, that felt like the right medium for the story that I wanted to tell.
Yeah. And so it sounds like, you know, when you have your mindset on something, whether you have experience with it or not, you just go on in. So that's awesome. From the hiking to the writing the book and everything like that. But no, it's really cool. And like I said, you know, reading it myself, you know, it's very personal. I feel like that kind of, you know, took some bravery, I guess might be the right word, to kind of, or kind of open, make, you know, I don't know if you felt kind of vulnerable when kind of sharing that, but, you know, I think to your point that people have, that have read it, you know, can relate one way or the other, where it's a, whether it's a direct kind of relation or to make them think about something else in relation to your story. Which I think is really, really powerful and awesome that you are able to do that. So once you kind of, you know, started kind of getting into the flow and figuring out the whole writing thing, you know, and not being an aspiring author beforehand, what were kind of the steps, I guess, or the feedback to help get the word, and then maybe some stories that came along with it, you know, from listening to readers and their the impact it had on them?
Yeah, I was really blown away in the beginning by the messages that I was getting from people, and honestly, like, the really genuine people reaching out to me to tell me thank you for writing the story and sharing that story. And that was really powerful for me as somebody who had kind of put myself out there with sharing like some deep parts of myself. And, but I think that is really what I was trying to do. I was trying to connect, and the true power of storytelling is connection. And we connect through all parts of ourselves, including the like darker ones that are harder to share. And I really got what I was hoping for out of the experience of putting the story out there, which was like to feel less alone, because a lot of the people that reached out to say something, what they were saying was, I have thought these same thoughts, or I have felt the same way, or they reached out and they sent me, some people sent me paragraphs telling me their story. Wow. Which was really lovely. And I super appreciated the time that people took, not just to read my book, but to then come tell me their story as well.
Yeah. And that's, you know, like in a way, you know, kind of you giving them permission in a sense after reading kind of your story and you putting yourself out there, they're like, hey, you know, taking those steps to do that as well, you know, maybe not on such a large scale in that sense, but still, it's just, you know, I'm sure there's, it really kind of opened up things for a lot of individuals that read that. So, that part is really, really awesome. So once the book was out, was it, you know, I guess, did you have the opportunity to kind of, you know, travel around and kind of meet different hikers and you know, people and talk, you know, I guess, promote it that way? Or like, what was kind of that part of it as sort of, you know, sort of the author side of it?
For sure. Yeah. The book came out in January of 21. So it was still like fresh on the heels / like still in COVID, and a lot of places where you would do book events, libraries, bookstores, gear shops, REI, were not hosting events at that time. They hadn't come back from that yet. And so the first year, pretty much all of my promotion was social media. And so I was meeting tons of people digitally and exchanging lots of messages and kind of doing it all there. But then in the spring of 22, I went to Appalachian Trail Days as the kickoff for a year-long book tour that also ended at Trail Days in 23. So I pretty much book toured, yeah, pretty much from May 22 to May 23. And I did, I would say, close to 100 events, all over the country. I did a sort of East Coast tour, small part of the East Coast. I did Virginia, North Carolina, and then Missouri on the way back to my dad's in Arkansas. And then I did a Pacific Northwest tour. So I did like Washington, Idaho, Wyoming, Oregon. And then over the winter, I did a bit in Arizona and a few other places.
Yeah, over 100 different events and, you know, quite a number of states and areas. That's pretty awesome to be able to go out there and kind of, you know, share your story in a definitely more, I guess, personal way, you know, seeing people in person that way. Are there any, like, I guess, favorite, like, stories, like, from that kind of that part that you know, I guess really took upon yourself or maybe surprised you in a way?
Oh my gosh. Honestly, a lot of it runs together in just like a frenzy of driving and driving and driving and talking and talking and talking. I will say, you know, on the first leg of the tour, I did like a lot of events in like a 7 or 8 week period. And I felt really burned out by the end of it. I'm actually a huge introvert. And so public speaking takes a lot of energy. And then on the second leg of the tour, I was like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to schedule the same amount of events, but in almost twice the amount of time. And so in the Pacific Northwest, I actually had like a 4-day backpacking trip on the PCT, and I like jumped on the Timberline Trail, and I did a section of the Tahoe Rim Trail, and sort of just like as I was going down the West Coast, I like hiked in between all of my events. And that was a really nice change of pace. So yeah, I don't know if there was like one specific thing that stood out to me about the tour other than just like the lessons I learned in terms of getting ready to do it again soon. But yeah, that face-to-face interaction with people who had read the book, people who hadn't read the book, was really special, and I'm super excited to do it again.
That's awesome. And I can, I totally understand the whole introvertness. I'm the same way. So, you know, it does take it out of you, and I have never done it to the extent that you have. But it's cool that you circled back around kind of, to the outdoors, which helped you in the first place, and kind of use that as a buffer to kind of grow through that. So, so that was obviously, you know, made a big impact, a lot of good positive feedback with that. And as I mentioned in the intro, you also have another book that you've been working on as well. So what kind of inspired you, I guess, to one, go through that whole process as, again, as far as writing and and everything, but also what inspired, like, what is that particular book about? Because I have not read that one, because at the time of this recording, it's not officially out yet, I don't believe. So
it's not out yet. Yeah. I sort of, after I published Alone in Wonderland and I was going through the book tour process, I was like, okay, I want to write another book because I'm a writer now. And I tried really hard to write a second memoir. And there is a story that I want to tell that I'm just really struggling to get on paper. And so at a certain point, I was like, okay, I don't think this is going to happen right now. So I need to switch gears and like do something else. And last year at Trail Days, I was sitting next to Nancy East. Do you know Nancy?
Don't know if I do.
Okay. She wrote a book called Chasing the Smokies Moon about her FKT on the Smokies 900, which I would highly recommend reading. And she is also just like one of the loveliest humans. And we were sitting together at the author's table at Trail Days, just like chit-chatting, talking about what projects we're working on and what we're excited about doing. And I told her I've really wanted to put together a short story collection of women's stories on trail. And I just don't know if I know like how to go about it, right? Like how do you get a bunch of people to write stories and then put it together? And like, there's like contracts involved. It's just things that are like over my head as a business person. And she was like, oh, just do it. You'll figure it out. And I was like, well, that is sort of how I've done everything else up until this point. So I guess it's true. And that was sort of the permission I needed to make the project happen. And so I put out a call last summer for stories about the experience of being in a female body on trail. Over the course of my book tour and like speaking at especially women specific events, I just found that one, like women want to be in women only spaces, and that is like an important part of getting more women into the outdoors.
Yeah.
And that sharing those stories and like the representation of women in the outdoors is really important. And so I was like, I think this project, like there's definitely a market for it. People want these stories. And one of the things that seemed to come up over and over again in women's spaces was the conversation around like, what do you do about your period when you're on trail? And it's like when we get together, we just want to talk about our periods. And it just kept coming up to the point where I was like, you know what? I have read probably 30 outdoor adventure memoirs by women, and I don't think any of them really talk about their periods. And So maybe we just need to like have a place where we can put that. That's just going to be like what this book is about. So I kind of put the call out, like, I want to hear your period stories. And that was like the root of Blood, Sweat, Tears. So the book is actually split into three categories. So there's the blood category, which is all period and reproductive health. And then there's the sweat category, which is sort of the battles we fight against ourselves, our own bodies on trail. And so there's like a couple stories about injury, some stuff about chronic illness, eating disorder, sort of just like all the ways that we're fighting our physical selves on trail. And then the tears category is more the emotional side of things. And I put a call out for stories last summer. I think the submission period was 8 weeks. I was hoping to get 100 submissions and to include 15 to 18 stories in the book. And I actually ended up with almost 200 submissions.
Wow.
And the book has 26 stories in it.
All right. So pretty good success there is getting that feedback. And it's, obviously as a male myself, I can't relate to that, but I do think that's a really interesting, perspective. And, I guess towards the female community in that sense, as, you know, getting, you know, there's lots of different, whether that's hiking or snowboarding or mountain biking or whatever, kind of women specific, outdoor groups like that. And I think, you know, talking about those things that are kind of more very, very, kind of focused towards that, I feel like would help kind of open up the doors for other people to get involved as well. Just kind of creating that different piece. So you mentioned like 25 or so different stories in that. Are they like, I guess, what is the length of kind of each story? Is it more like kind of like a quick story that they had on a trail as it relates to one of those three categories, or how's it outlaid?
Yeah, they are short stories. So, I mean, if you're not a writer, measurements by words don't really mean anything, but the submission guideline was between 1,000 and 6,000 words.
Okay.
And most of them are in the like 3,000 to 5,000 range. If you've read Alone in Wonderland, that book is 76,000 words. This one is going to be just under 100,000. So it's like time and a half the length. Well, not quite time and a half, but close to that, the length of Alone in Wonderland. So it's going to be like 350 pages. It's a lot of content, but the stories are not super long. So you can kind of sit down, read one story, like put the book down, digest it a little bit. And the stories are related, but they're not the same person telling a story the whole time. So you can read them in any order that you want. It's fairly approachable in that way.
Yeah, no, that's cool. And I like that, kind of the approach you took there, but also the approach as far as kind of the layout and kind of those short stories and compiling all that. And I couldn't even imagine, getting, you know, over 200 submissions and then figuring out how to organize all those and figure out which stories to put on and everything like that. But it just sounds like, cause I would assume a lot of those, you know, you mentioned a call to action. I mean, I'm sure there are some people that you knew, but was the majority of people that you didn't know that submitted those and kind of creating a whole nother kind of subset of a community in that sense?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I actually, because I wanted to get submissions from people I didn't know, because my community is this small, I actually put like money behind like boosting posts on social media to try to like get a bit of a wider audience. And I'm sure that's why I ended up with so many submissions. but yeah, there was a tons of people that I didn't know, which was really exciting to read people's stories. And, you know, the ones who submitted, I run a writing group. So a lot of the gals in my writing group submitted things, and a lot of their stories I knew some of or had heard before. And so when I was reading them, it was like, oh yes, like I know exactly who submitted this. But then there was others that I was just like, this is completely new to me. And that was also really lovely.
Yeah, no, it's cool though. And, you know, that's also interesting kind of, I guess this is more from like a business and promotion kind of audience kind of side of things, but, you know, having that much, kind of submissions from getting it to a different audience, that's not necessarily related to you in that sense already. I think that just kind of speaks to the community wanting something like what you made, and help kind of compile together. So I think that part's really, really awesome and interesting as well.
Yeah, I do think that the number of submissions that came in is a great indicator of the level of desire for something like this.
Yeah, and that level of desire is really awesome. And I'm sure, you know, once it's out for readers to read, of course, that awareness will spread. And I'm sure you'll get some great feedback from that once it gets out there. To that point, like what is kind of the plan? Is it sort of the same plan that you did before, kind of, you know, bouncing around different areas, different shops and that kind of stuff, and kind of, you know, interacting with people and sharing the stories that way? Or kind of what does that look like on the round two of the book tour?
Yeah. So this time I'm going to also kick off at Trail Days in May in Damascus, Virginia. And then I'm actually going to sort of just do the Appalachian Trail corridor for book events. So I'm going to pop down, it looks like, to Georgia, South Carolina, and then I'm going to go up to Maine from there. So basically mid-May to mid-October, I'll be traveling, but I am taking a short break in the fall to hike the Long Trail. Other than that, I'll be book touring, but also a lot of the other writers are going to be doing book events. So if you're not in one of those areas, you might be able to catch one of the other writers from the book doing events somewhere else in the country. So I'm in the process right now of scheduling my own events and also creating a calendar of everybody else's events, which is pretty exciting. It's cool to think about the fact that there's going to be, like, you know, events happening all over the country at the same time.
Yeah, that's really cool. And also makes it unique as well to be able to kind of, you know, over 25 different people kind of share and do their own stuff in their own parts of the country. And also, I'm glad you have the trips planned around yours, you know, got to keep those batteries charged in that sense. So that's awesome too. So like what, I guess with this, because I feel like, you know, the way you're kind of going, and kind of specifically with this, like having other people kind of throw in their two cents and everything and share their stories, and then you kind of helping with that, like, I guess what is sort of the ultimate impact, and like where do you see like this going? Because I feel like this can really kind of impact the woman outdoor community, much like the other one, but almost at a different level just because of the kind of collaboration part of it.
For sure. Yeah. This project was sort of a guinea pig project for the future of my company, Rugged Outdoors Woman, which is actually Rugged Outdoors Woman Publishing. And going forward, I'm going to be accepting manuscripts from other writers, anything outdoor adventure related, written by women and gender expansive folks, because I really just think that the elevation of those stories is important, and the outdoor community is shifting and moving in that direction, and I'd like to see that happen a little faster. Yeah. And get more people outdoors. And that's sort of the mission, right? Just like tell stories that are going to inspire people to get outdoors, and tell stories that are going to show people that they are welcome and capable of being outdoors.
Yeah, I think that's great. And you're kind of, you know, being that catalyst to, you know, some of those changes that you just mentioned as well. It's really cool to see that, and then to kind of see like your kind of how that community has kind of grown, and you've helped that community on your own end as well with these different things. So it's definitely exciting. Is there anything that I might have didn't think to ask, or maybe some other things that are coming down the works? I know you just kind of teased that a little bit, and of course there's a book, so there's a lot going on right now, but is there anything that I might have kind of brushed over that we should cover?
I don't know. I mean, those are my two main projects right now, sort of getting this book out into the world and then acquiring a few others for the next year or two, and just sort of helping other people get their stories out. Because I think the publication process is a lot, and it's a lot to figure out if you're not familiar. And that process for me was like a fun adventure of like, oh, like how do you get a book edited? How do you get a book printed? Like, how do you find people to help you work on your project and all the moving parts that go along with that. But I think a lot of people have a story to tell and might even have the skill and ability to write it. But then all the other stuff after that is just like a black hole of knowledge. And it can be really overwhelming, and not everybody looks at that and thinks like, wow, that sounds like a fun thing to figure out and to puzzle piece the business side of becoming a published author. Yeah. And so I don't think that should be a barrier to people's stories being out into the world. And I really want, I'm excited to take people's manuscripts and their kind of like first drafts, so to speak, and turn it into a book, you know?
Yeah. That's awesome. And I totally see obviously where that connection works with kind of this being kind of the guinea pig or this particular book and figuring that out. And I hope the floodgates mm-hmm. open once kind of those are open to that. That's definitely exciting and, you know, help ultimately, as you said, kind of build that community and kind of, you know, grow it in that way. So it's cool that it kind of, that's another door, that you're working through in that sense. So to that point, you know, obviously one thing I always like to ask our guests is kind of one piece of advice that they can take away. And I think your particular story, obviously how you got involved with outdoor, sort of how it had the healing aspect to now, you know, you're growing a community and you seem to kind of jump first into everything, which is awesome. But I feel like there's a certain kind of confidence/vulnerability that comes with all of that, that the outdoors has kind of helped guide you in a sense. What would you say to someone, that, you know, is maybe, you know, thinking about trying to, you know, maybe they're going through something tough or maybe they want to try something new. What would your kind of advice be to kind of help that same sort of experience and connection that you've gained with the outdoors, you know, through writing, through difficult times, through kind of everything in between that's ultimately led you where you were? Like, where does somebody start where they don't feel, where they had that confidence to go out there and try a trail? Maybe it's not the AT straight off the bat, or maybe it is to write a book or even submit something to you or someone else as well. But where would they find that confidence?
I don't know. I think it's such a funny thing, that personality trait of just like, well, I guess I'll just figure it out as I go along. And I think some people have that and some people don't, but it can definitely be faked, right? And I think asking yourself the question, like, what's the worst that could happen? And if the worst thing that could happen is that you might fail, remembering that failing is part of the process and like you're never going to succeed without failing a bunch first. So if the fear of failure is what is holding you back, then maybe approaching it as like failure is part of the success and I need to do that part first to get to the whatever I consider success to be part that comes after.
Yeah, I love that and totally agree. That's definitely kind of part of the process and, you know, just finding a way to look at that or reimagine what that looks like to kind of go after what you want is great. So to that point, where can people find you online? Obviously when you start doing the tours and other people are doing tours where they can find different events, obviously purchase the book, all that good stuff.
Yeah. So the best place to reach me if you want to like chit chat or send me a DM, ask questions, that's going to be on Instagram at Rugged Outdoors Woman. If you're interested in pre-ordering Blood, Sweat, Tears or ordering a copy of Alone in Wonderland, you can do that at ruggedoutdoorswoman.com. And that is also where the big calendar of events is going to be once I get it into existence.
Awesome. Well, everybody definitely make sure you check out the website, follow her on Instagram and, pick up a copy of her, both the books, the one when it comes out, of course, but I appreciate you coming on, kind of giving a recap of what you've been up to. And I also appreciate, you know, you kind of taking that step in the first place to kind of get your story out there with the first book and then kind of that community that you're continuing to build around that now. I think it's really important for the outdoors and, you know, specifically, you know, other women seeing themselves and relating to different stories and that stuff kind of from your perspective. So I appreciate that. And I wish you the best on the new book launch.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening. And hey, if you've made it this far and like what you've heard, go ahead and hit that subscribe button and let your friends know about Life in Motion. Until next time.